So it's a steering committee. We're back. It's been a while. We, you know, we're known for our lost episodes, and we lost another one. But so there, we did this.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, that's okay. We're back. Yeah. We did this automobile rally. What was that, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now? And we recorded a bourbon-fueled episode right after, so that's probably the problem.
It was a callback to Bourbons and Backfire, which our audience...
Yes, if you're really...
If you've been really listening to us closely, you know what that means, but... But it was...
It didn't get recorded, and that's fine.
Yeah, the technical gods took that one away from us.
We had some interesting, I think... Well, it was just sort of...
you were getting a very raw, unfiltered...
Real-time...
Real take on the events, yeah.
So this rally, this is the third year I've done this. Up until this year, I think it was called the Automobili Exotica Rally.
Yeah.
But now it's known as the Automobili Rally. It was aligned with the 303 Motorsports Speed Shop, if you want to call it that, here in Denver. Until recently, former neighbor, buddy of mine named Scott Simpson runs this, puts this on every year. It's a drive from, this year it was from Ferrari of Denver to Snowmass.
Snowmass
just
Village.
Outside of Aspen. Outside of Aspen, Colorado. And other than it was hot, it was really beautiful weather this year. It took off from the Ferrari of Denver dealership down. Is it Highlands Ranch? Is that what that is?
I don't know that part of town. Down there south, there's a lot of cars. It was
77.
You say more than the other 2 years you've done it?
Yeah, I think there were 77 cars. We were number 64.
It was just a long line of cars.
We happened to start toward the end,
but you know, I thought it was well run. You know, especially with all the COVID restrictions out there.
Yeah, it was a little different this year.
Yeah, they did the best they could, but I thought it was well run, and I had fun. It's my first my first rally. I was a rally virgin before this. So.
And it always, of course, I worked day job. I worked late, night before, so I could take some PTO, and so I was tired. Happens every year. Other than that, it was weather was nice. 77 cars, ranging from. What was probably the slowest? Everything was, there was nothing slow.
The slowest car was also probably one of the fan favorites on the trip, which was that Mercedes 192.3.
That was cool. And it kept up well.
It did, And that was, but that was, I mean, honestly, that was probably was one of the slowest cars there.
Well, we were probably below median,
I mean, 2007 Porsche Cayman is like on the low end, it's, you're dealing with some high horsepower, high dollar valued cars. So.
There was a 2007, but we were in the 2017.
I thought I said seven. I meant to say 17.
But that was another
there
one.
There was, he joined on the second day.
That was one of the best driven cars. Caymans in the whole spectrum were probably some of the cheaper, lower powered cars, because on the high end, you had Ferrari 488s, McLarens of several varieties.
Well, and we discovered a Ferrari F8, which is
different. Which is not a 488.
Different than the 488,
even though it is.
But that was probably on the higher end of things. There was a Gallardo Superleggera.
Yeah.
Two new NSXs. Both white, which is interesting.
Yeah, supposedly a 1,000 plus horsepower AMG. What's that turtle shaped Mercedes SUV?
I can't keep track of it, but one of the sport coupe SUV type.
A lot of
designs.
Porsches, couple Boxers.
Smattering of GT3s,
GT3s, GT3 RSs. Mm-hmm. What else was. I think years past, because of what the shop worked on, there were a lot of tuned Audis and Volkswagens. Not so many of those this year, but there were several Audis, an RS3, an S3, several R8s.
At least three R8s, I think. At least one that was, I think, pretty heavily modified.
What else? There were 77 cars. Pretty Ferrari McLaren heavy.
Murcielago.
There was a red Murcielago. I think that's a manual. I've seen that on every rally I've done
now.
There was a Viper GTS Coupe.
First generation GT.
We're sitting outside. It's a little windy. I apologize. Yeah. But still COVID and all that. So.
I thought that one was cool. There were a lot of great cars there, though. There was a Panamera Sport.
Yeah, a couple
Turismo,
Panameras.
And some regular, Panameras as well, sedans.
I think everything was at least a turbo, though. So some heavy hitters on this rally, but of course the drive. We had an Escort out under the road. It's hard keeping 77 cars together on the interstate, and you've got all the Friday traffic. you know, that to me is always the stressful part, getting on the highway, getting out to Snowmass. Well, and but I once you get off 70, yeah.
It was herding cats for the guys who were trying to organize one group peeled off at the wrong exit and
happens every year.
We had to pull off and wait. And
but generally very, very well,
very well
organized, yeah. Good turnout and an interesting mix of people. You know, the pet pig was back this year.
Notorious. That was one of our first episodes, is you talking about
that's
the
right. Pet pig. Yeah, a year ago. So, and
I got to see it in the flesh.
Yes,
in the bacon.
This is not. This is a spectrum of people, but definitely not the. This is not the Concours d'Elegance. Am I pronouncing that right? Crowd. This is more the drivers and.
Which is nice.
Not a lot of garage queens or you know, well kept cars, but also driven hard, right? I mean, this is this was for people who like to drive, and first day made it out to Snowmass.
They had a nice big parking garage for everybody, so everything was kept safe inside.
That's key.
So,
the jockey for the best positions is always entertaining.
And pretty much the rally took up most of those interior spaces.
Nice. Could get your car wash detailed there if you want, which I've done in years past. This year I didn't, mostly because we had such nice weather. I picked up a few bugs, but other than that, the car stayed pretty clean. Mm-hmm. First day, it was fun. We went over two passes, right? Did we do Loveland and Independence? I'm trying to think. It was such a whirlwind.
We didn't go over Loveland. We went through Eisenhower, and then over Independence.
Yeah, where did we exit? We exited at starts with an M.
Midterm. So just past us. So drove through Vail.
This year.
And then headed up through Leadville.
Yeah, didn't we go through Red Cliff this year over that little suspension bridge? I think we did.
I don't know. I don't remember.
We
stopped and we had lunch in Leadville. Friday was just getting. Getting you up there. It was basically setting us up for Saturday, which was the real.
Yeah, we stayed in Snowmass Village. We'd stayed Viceroy one year. Last couple years, we stayed at the Limelight. Mm-hmm. Both pretty comparable, I guess. But we always have to go back to the Viceroy, restaurant there called Toro, because they have a delicious hamburger. But
I had that twice while I was up there. Yeah.
So, Frank Vosnack, if you're listening, I think you had that twice a day when you were on the rally. But anyway,
it is good. I'll give him that. Yeah. Though. So, it's definitely good.
Perfect place. It was a little different this year. We didn't have all the social events, and the ones we did have,
it was weird. That was another thing. It was weird. It's like everyone wants to hang out, but everyone's kind of afraid to hang out. But
it was done about as responsibly as it could have been done. Yeah. So shout out to Scott and his folks at Level Up. Is what they're called
Level
now.
Level Up Events.
Level Up Events. But day two we do a drive with a fellow by the name of, and his name is escaping me right now. He's a Porsche factory driver. Diego, and I can't think of his last name. Last year he led the group in a 997 GT3 RS. This year he was in, I think, a 991 GT3 RS. Was it a Voodoo Blue? Which is a purple.
You know the colors a little better. Blue. It was blue with yellow lettering on it. I remember.
Well, no, his was purple though. What is that? It's not Voodoo. What's the purple color? That the blue one was a different.
I thought he was in the blue one, but okay.
Yeah, I think he was in the purple one, but. But either way, he led the
he was in a bluish purplish
something in the
GT3
in the Roy G Biv. He'd be in the
Biv?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, blue, indigo, violet, somewhere in that range.
Is that a graphic? Anyway, that's a graphic design term, I think.
Roy G. Biv?
I don't know.
You never heard of the term Roy G. Biv. I think I learned that in kindergarten, but I won't. That's okay.
We're learning here that Ryan may have gone to a much better kindergarten than I did, so Melrose Public Schools in Massachusetts are apparently not up to stuff.
Well, anyway, it's not important, but we had this drive on the second day. We went from Carbondale down to Paonia, Colorado, part of the state I'd never been.
Yeah, well, what was nice about the, I thought for me what was nice about the drive is that you kind of, for me at least, combined the two best parts of last year and this year, which was you took me earlier in the morning on the drive that you did with them, which up to this reservoir.
Yeah, is it Rudy Reservoir?
Yeah, it's in, I think it's outside of Aspen. It's a one way, so it's although you get a lot of camping traffic on the road, you don't get a lot of traffic, and it was fun.
We weren't driving that hard. Yeah. Only got flipped off once. The real fun came. Yeah. So the group drive was different this year. Instead of going to the reservoir, we did this drive from Carbondale down to Paonia. So supposedly it's sort of Colorado's wine country, and we happened we all met at a the meeting point after the first stage was a hops farm.
Yeah,
one of the guys, Ryan at Brews Beers here in Denver, who I think we'll be talking to soon.
Yeah,
he buys his hops from this place, and so they hosted us and this big group, and we had some delicious homemade ice cream, and then went back to Carbondale. But it really wasn't about the destination; it was about the drive. So Diego led this first drive, and it was exciting.
I feel like we got a good omen as we pulled into that parking lot to gather up.
Yeah,
that guy, the local guy, who was a he was driving like two different Miatas. He sounded like he was a real driver. He was excited to see all the cars there. And when we told him where we were going, he said, "Yeah, you're gonna have a good time."
I kind of
thought it was gonna be good.
It
still lived up to the expectations. I was just a passenger, and that was one of the best drives I've been on.
Yeah, so, that was a good drive. That was as hard as I've driven in a while. We had a really good pace. We had spotters and. Yeah,
it was good. I thought that's where the organization really clicked in. Like, he had guys ahead scouting. He had we had radios. We were near one of the guys, so he was able to kind of give us directions on passing zones and oncoming traffic, which was great. And then I thought, for me, you can tell a little bit about your driving because you were hot shoeing it up there that day. But I thought that for me the best part was when we came up. Close to the summit, close to the pass, and you could see all the way down. You could see for like miles down the road.
Yes,
you could see some of the, and we were at least halfway back, maybe even a little bit further. So there were a lot of cars that I could see on the road, just tearing it up. And Diego came on and just said, "Go, go, go, go!"
Yeah,
it was wide open. Like,
it was fun.
Go, go, go! He was he was on point. He was setting the pace, and
some high speeds were.
I think at that point, I think everyone maybe hit the upper limit of their cars, at least what they're willing to do on a road. So
it was a lot of fun. And
we were chasing, like you mentioned, that earlier 2007 Cayman who was driving. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah, we mixed it up. There was a couple McLarens, that we were with, and then of course I think I actually enjoyed the trip back even more, where we became the default leaders of a group. I think it was us leading
we ducked out a little bit earlier.
R8 and new NSX, a new, was it a 991?
There was a
991 GTS.
Yeah, there was 11. like a 911, maybe GTS. It was like a newer 997.2 or 991.
No, that was a 991. I think it was a 991.2 behind us. That gray one is a GTS, I think. I don't know. I never found out who was driving that car. We led a little group going back, and I think we even hit some higher speeds.
Well, do you want to tell the audience what you hit?
No, I don't.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
you are my attorney.
No, you shouldn't. This actually can be used against you for a certain period of time. But we'll say Ryan hit a... A nice number.
That was fun.
That's what everyone was gossiping about at the hops farm. It was like, how fast did you go?
And I think we surprised a few people in a base Cayman. But
well,
it was fun. It was
not
really
about the ride. It's about the rider.
The
thing is that that's a capable. It's a surprisingly capable car, is what it is.
It really is, the temperature gauge never got in the red. I mean, I was squeezing everything I could out of that car to keep up with some of the cars that we were in front of.
Like you said, we were in the middle of McLaren MPC12s or MP12Cs.
I can never get that one right.
I know. But, I think it's MP12Cs and then later 650Ss some high ends, like you said, high horsepower stuff.
We had to slow down a couple times so people could catch up.
Well, you had to slow down for a couple times for people ahead of you too. And I think you had to pass a few people. So, but
it was a great road, a high speed road. It wasn't so tight.
The reservoir road was more technical,
right?
And then this road was more. You probably would have done even better there because it's doesn't those high horsepower high speeds don't really benefit, but. The McClure Pass, which is what
McClure,
we did.
That's what it was. Troy McClure Pass, yes.
Was definitely a lot of high-speed sweepers. I'd say some of it going up was a little technical, yeah. But like definitely once you got to the pass and on the other side, yeah. It's just some yeah. real
great open. Sight lines though, which yeah. is kind of rare in the mountains. That was yeah. that was fun, but it was yeah. That's I mean I'll you know I've driven on the track, you know I've driven with other groups rallies and this was as hard as I've ever driven. I think.
Really,
I mean I would say that was 9/10 driving.
Interesting. Okay. So what? What that makes me wonder what's left in that last tenth. But it was good.
I never once got scared. Never once thought that we were pushing it, or I mean, we were hardly even squealing the tires. But it was
I don't think I heard the tires squeal.
I just the capability.
Well, you got your new tires, which is perfectly timed. You have your new tires.
Oil change, so I felt good. Yeah. But that car was just tight. Shocked me with its capabilities. It's a great car. I mean, in fact, I even wondered if a GT4 is still worth the extra outlay every month after that drive, because. I mean, gosh, that car just, it's almost like, you know, it was telling me, don't get rid of me. This is what I can do.
I'm still good.
Yeah, it was, anyway, that was pretty epic.
It was a great drive. Even as a passenger, that was one of my best drives ever. And I had fun. I've ever since I've come back from the rally, I've been bored every time I look around out of my car and all I see are just normal CRVs and minivans and it's like I'm not looking around and seeing, you know, multiple Ferraris or Porsches around
me. And the smells.
It was great. And so, so everyone was on, I think everyone on Saturday night was on like a pretty good high.
Yeah,
like,
and you were a great passenger. Happy, so. You didn't throw up. You didn't.
I seem to have gotten that under control.
Seem to. I mean, I'm the worst passenger in the world. I know how hard that can be to especially when someone's really going after it.
Well, what you don't know, and a shout out to Dave. Hopefully you're listening. I've been conditioned. As a passenger from my friend Dave, who drove a little aggressively in high school. Ever since then, I don't know, I've never been scared literally right, as a passenger in the car.
My biggest regret is that I didn't bring my GoPro, and I don't know why I didn't bring my GoPro. But actually, nice. The move is you get the GoPro from the guy behind you.
Yeah, you want a film car,
so
basically.
Whoever was on the rally who was driving the gray, I think it was a 991 GT3 because it had that different front end, but it wasn't a GT car. Anyway, it wasn't a GT3. I'm sorry, it was a GTS. Whoever was behind me, if you had a GoPro, I would love to see that footage. But I didn't
see one on the outside of the car, but maybe on the inside.
I think we need a good year before we're probably welcome back in that corner of the state. So,
surprisingly though, with all those cars, no official law enforcement encounters.
There were encounters, but there were proactive measures taken before, and so it was all good.
So that was good.
And generally speaking, people were good drivers and responsible drivers, and.
Like you said, we didn't get it was primarily an overwhelmingly majority positive response from people. A few killjoys out there, but overall overwhelmingly positive. You know, people bringing kids into, every time we gathered up in a parking lot, people bringing their kids over to like look at all the cars, fans coming out to like, you know, see what was going on. We tended to attract a little attention as we came through towns and villages and stuff.
It was an impressive group of cars this year. I'll be the first to admit my Cayman was definitely one of the less impressive cars visually. There's no competing with purple GT3 RSs,
I think it held its own on the drive. I think it punched way out of its weight class for sure. And like I said, it has to do with the driver too. I think you're a good driver. I think you're able surprise some people, but I think that car is also surprisingly capable. So
it continues to amaze me. I've been on this GT4 search.
Even after all this, I know, with the GT4.
I do have a whole new appreciation for the Cayman. Every time I do a drive like that or whatever, I feel like, I mean, you know, what more do I want? But I do want a GT car. I just I. I yeah, there's something special about a GT car. Unfortunately, the damn 2016 981 GT4s, the prices, I swear, have been going up.
So I know, that is a problem. I mean, limited production, you know, highly, you know, really well designed and well, yeah, you know, yeah, well conceived, or, you know, it's really highly rated and people like it. So
yeah, and yeah, apparently they're, and I don't know if this is just current owners saying this to make themselves feel better or make themselves think they don't have to buy a new 718 /982 Cayman GT4, but some people are saying that the older one is a little rawer. I think in Europe it's probably more pronounced because they have this particulate filter that we don't have to put up with here in the States, you know, yeah, the sound and all that. But shoot, I mean, the prices on these 981s, these 2016s that are now probably most of them out of warranty, are nearing the price of a new GT4.
Like a base GT, like a 718 GT4.
You know, maybe without the buckets or whatever. So,
wow.
So there is, I think I mentioned this to you earlier, but the closest new 718 GT4 for sale to Denver is in Albuquerque, so it's about 400, 450 miles away, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They have a relatively base, I mean, we're still talking over $100,000, but a black, with black painted wheels and black painted calipers, and I think maybe a couple of other light options like Apple CarPlay. But the regular sport seats, no buckets or anything like that. And I think that's about $103,000. And it is, I said I wanted the buckets, but I mean, it's tempting. It's there. It's,
what would those seats be compared to your seats right now?
So they should be the same seat, mm-hmm, except I think in my current Cayman, because I have the ventilated seats, they're actually a little stiffer.
Okay.
Is what I've heard, but they are the same seat, essentially. Okay. These are covered in Alcantara minor.
So approximately same size, same shape.
Yeah,
so
they're, yeah, yeah.
Okay, the same amount of,
same, like, template or whatever.
Sort of same, yeah, amount of, like, you know, bolster.
Yeah, which is
bolstering,
not,
and stuff,
not
like
a bad thing.
No, no. I mean, yours, yeah, I would not, yeah, yours, yeah, your seats are well bolstered.
But
they,
the buckets
hold
are damn cool,
them,
and, you know, and as a tall, yeah, guy, you get a couple inches, you sit a couple inches lower, which, you know, I wouldn't,
you,
mind,
yeah, yeah,
having. But is it worth $6,000? I don't know. I certainly, you know, would take a GT3 with the standard seats, or I'm sorry, a GT4 with the standard seats in a heartbeat. And in fact, all the GT cars had those seats, or, you know, an older version of the seats until recently, when we could even get the, I guess we call them the 918 buckets. The,
yeah, yeah, the ones that are
buckets.
Yeah,
but anyway, so.
And they, well, do look cool, but I mean, you've sat in them, so you know you fit in one. And
yeah,
you feel,
and believe me, I'm a.
But you haven't driven in a car.
Yeah,
with one of those,
there's,
yeah,
not a lot of extra room, yeah, but I do fit in them. And
is it definitely a kind of seat you'd have to take your wallet out of your back pocket to sit,
well,
in?
Yeah, I can always carry it in the front anyway, but it's, yeah, you would want to. It's it would definitely keep you from adding any extra pounds.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
You know, but. You know, and I think a lot of people, the complaint is they're tough to get in and out of or whatever, but you know, this is a weekend car for me. But is it worth $6,000 in a car I can't really afford anyway? You know, I don't know. And it's just a matter of getting your hands on it, right? So here this car sits. It's black on black. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's 100, so it's 103 brand new.
Yes, brand new.
Porsche of Albuquerque,
yes,
type of thing.
Yeah, warranty. I assume, I from what I understand, there's, you know, not a, it's not like people are paying wildly over sticker. So, mm-hmm, I don't know. We'll see. Can I afford it? No, not really.
People,
but,
aren't wild over sticker because they're like, they're all holding onto their old.
Well, that's kind of,
yeah,
how I feel.
They're
you
the
know?
First generation ones. You,
yeah,
know?
Yeah. My plan was that, you know, the new ones would come out and all the old ones would get cheap, or, you know, relatively cheap, and I could grab one, but that hasn't played out like that, so.
Yeah, yeah, well, I don't know.
Anyway, we'll see.
Well,
but,
yeah,
one of us is talking, one of us actually is buying.
One of us is buying, I guess, yeah, I am
not
buying.
Not what I thought you'd be buying.
Not what I thought I was going to be buying
either.
But a very
either. Cool,
yeah, very, very.
VAT, Jalopnik-worthy car.
Absolutely. Should, yeah, we're at a good point to take a break. Should we,
yeah,
tease,
we'll,
with,
come,
that? Yeah, we'll tease with that a little bit. So stay tuned. We'll talk about what.
We'll be back.
All right, we're back. And
yeah.
As we tease, they're going into the break. Yeah. So I'm buying a new car. I've gone in a slightly different direction. Although we're still going to stay on course, though, and I'll explain why. So
it's a manual.
I'm buying. Well, I've had an up. It's one,
no,
of these,
let's,
things.
Let's tiptoe around the.
Exactly. Well, I'll give you a little, yeah, background without getting into it. So I had an up. It's one. This is one of these opportunities where a friend of mine, a friend of the show,
yeah,
Will Power, also,
yeah,
known as Will Porter,
yeah,
you know, has had this a car that I've always admired and always liked. So I know it's always been well taken care,
yeah,
of too. But I've always loved this car.
Car
it's always
been new.
He bought it new, so it's one owner, and it's been a car I've always admired. It is, as you alluded to, it would be a fan favorite on Jalopnik. It's
rare
a fan
car.
Favorite of some of our listeners, even too. They've told us through Facebook. When I posted one on our Bring a Trailer Auction of the Day highlight. So
it's a GT car, I should add.
It is a GT car. That's true. It is a GT car. So it's very Colorado too. It's very appropriate for Colorado. So
not a Porsche GT car, but it is a manual.
It is not. It's not a Porsche. It's got
some horsepower.
It's a manual. It's got some good power. I feel like it drives really tightly.
Can we say how much horsepower?
We can. Yeah. Go ahead. It's 250.
250
and 250 pounds per feet approximately.
Yeah. So what could
that be? So it's turbocharged.
Yeah. Yeah. All-wheel drive.
All-wheel drive.
Not a WRX.
Definitely not a WRX. But it's close. It's been called the adult WRX.
Yeah, this is the last thing I thought you would ever buy, but I do approve.
I wasn't going to buy it because I was really thinking, I really wanted to go pure sports car, and I still do. It's important for me to get a sports car that is rear-wheel drive with no power going to the front wheels. I'd like to get something with, perfect steering, so... should we tell them? I think we've teased.
Oh yeah, yeah. Thing. I mean, so we're looking, and if you know what it is, then you're really a car nerd. But
It's a 2005 Subaru Legacy GT.
Yeah.
Station wagon, manual transmission.
Yeah. So it's kind of a rare bird.
Very much a unicorn. Yeah. 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 There are not many of these out there. When I was, I'm bringing it to a Subaru specialist tomorrow. And they were pretty excited when I told them what it was. So
just like when they get a Carrera GT at the Porsche dealer.
I think in the Subaru world, this isn't that far off. I mean, obviously it's a different price point, but honestly, we should look at production numbers.
Gold vape pen.
We might have to look to see how many they made. It could be in the same territory. So you don't see very many manual station wagon Legacy GTs.
No. That original owner that haven't been tuned, that haven't been,
You see a lot of, you do see a fair amount of Legacy GTs sedans and a lot of them tuned to within an inch of their life. This is completely stock.
Except for the wheels.
Well, but it's a nice, I think it's a but, nice modification. So,
yes.
So it comes with two sets of wheels. The regular standard wheels, which I think are really nice. They kind of look like sort of those lighter Porsche, five or I think six spoke wheels that you see sometimes. You can
cup
look online
if you want to call them that.
Yeah, they're the nice sort of alloy wheels, or sort of nice light looking wheels. But what Will did is he actually purchased from someone who had a Spec B sedan. They never did a Spec B station wagon in the States, as far as I know. Yeah. But he bought one from someone who was upgrading their wheels to some sort of aftermarket.
Okay.
So it's got Spec B wheels on it from a Legacy GT sedan. So I think they look nice on the car.
Yeah.
So they need to be cleaned up a little bit, but they look good, though.
The equivalent like Audi would be an S4 Avant manual B5.
Yeah, that's a good. That would be a good comparison.
Yeah, also a unicorn.
So. But it's funny. I mean, so Will told me when he was, he was looking at that. Yeah. That would have been his first choice. But the new ones were way too expensive.
Yeah.
Used ones were coming out of warranty, and that was before they knew about the plastic timing chain guides that were a big problem on that car.
My A4 of course had the engine failure at 40,000 miles because that B5 of the vintage. And I don't know if this is the same with the S cars, but on my car at least, it was the water pump leaks onto the timing belt pulleys and then seizes those, which then makes the timing belt snap and then throws the engine because it's an interference engine. So,
All right. Well, I think that actually is a problem on the S's, and I think they also have this problem with the timing chain is also like being held in with plastic guides, which also sometimes
on the
Audis, I think, and then they also they have a problem with that, and that causes
but they're not chains, they're belts.
Are they belts?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, yeah, that's
maybe I have this wrong then, but anyways,
but on the later ones, on the B6s and B7s with the V8, those I believe were chains?
Oh, is the B5, is that the 6, and then the
B7
is the 4.2 liter,
so it was the same motor that was in my A4 but slightly detuned and the turbo added to it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Or if you want to call it this, I was just driving the GT4 of the B5 A4. Anyway, all right.
Now that we've thrown a lot of letters and numbers at you.
Keep going.
We are car nerds, and after all, so we're not going to hide
obviously.
That. Yeah, we're not going to
If we still
that.
Have any listeners left after that.
Well, so, but this is a... What they did with this particular car, and
I'm looking at it.
Functional.
Taking it all in.
Functional hood scoop.
Yeah.
That cools the intercooler.
Yeah.
is they took the, I believe the STI drivetrain, at least the WRX drivetrain, out of the equivalent cars and dropped it into their legacy car, which at this generation, the legacy is still a small enough car that it, you know, it doesn't feel, you know, it still feels like zippy. So it's just a, it kind of was Subaru's take on Audi. Well, and it's nice on the inside. Yeah. I mean, it's very 2005, but it's good for clean. 2005.
Yeah. And there's something about the scale of it. We just run around the block here. And I noticed this too. Shout out to James, if you're listening, who let me do a little wheeling with him this last weekend. In his, he's got an original owner. I want to say it's a, like a circa 2000, 2003 4Runner.
Yeah.
This is the guy I was telling you about, kind of dead ringer for Magnus Walker. But the scale of the thing is just different than a brand new 4Runner in a good way. And I felt the same thing about this car.
Yeah, I mean, I bet if we put this next to a current WRX, I think we'd find it's actually about the same size. It just, these cars just keep getting bigger.
This is a good scale. And just, and so solid, not a rattle.
Yeah, it's tight.
Because it's got 111,000 miles.
Well, and it's like, it's I'm buying the car, which I think is fantastic, but I'm also, it's just one of these things where it's like, when you, and this is a good steering committee top tip. If you know someone who's very careful and very good with cars, and they are ready to sell the car at a reasonable price, you should consider it.
Yeah.
Because you know the owner, you know it's been taken care of, and it has... It only has 114,000 miles on it, which is also helps.
No. There's a reason that this is worth more now than a 2006 Maserati Quattroporte.
I know, right? Yeah. I was just having this discussion with someone about, literally having this discussion with someone. They were like trying to figure out what someone's finances were because they haven't been able to buy a house, but somehow they're driving around in a Maserati. And I kind of had to tell them, like, well, it depends on the Maserati. It might actually be really cheap, actually. Yeah. So, you know. So, but yeah, it's, I think that's, these things are held together well. And I think there's a chance these could be considered classics in the future. They're definitely cult classics. I don't know if they'll be like,
you got to keep it up, of course.
Yeah. And, yeah. You got to keep it up.
It'll probably never be worth less than what.
No, I think I'm hitting it at top, you know, at the bottom of the depreciation curve. Yeah. But, you know, I'm buying the owner history, but I'm buying the car. It also, I didn't get into this too much with you, and I'll only talk about it a little bit.
Sure.
We kind of need, for my family, we need one car that, a fast car that all five of us can fit in. Kathleen and I, my wife, have been talking about still getting a sports car, and I think we still do. But in some ways, by buying this, I could still get the BRZ.
Yeah.
Or I could go to two-seat cars become an option.
You can't quite swing the new RS6 wagon, so...
No, not until this takes it. We need.
Neither can I.
Need some of these listeners to tell all their friends about this spirit. You know, this podcast, so we can. Ryan can get his GT4, and I can get my RS6.
Yeah, that's not available in the stick. So you know,
that's true.
You get more cred in this thing, in my eyes. So.
That's true. I would take the RS6 though, if I could. Yeah, but
damn straight. But
still a dual clutch. This allows us to get then the possibly a two-seater. We kind of have this like vision of ourselves driving around like on a road trip with one of us driving the sports car and one of us in the legacy now as the fun family car.
Okay.
And we can kind of follow each other, you know, and go on these epic drives together. Yeah. Whereas if we got there's no good sports car that has five seats. The best you're going to do is four seats. Right?
Yeah.
So
you had to have twins, didn't you?
Having here's another top tip if you like sports cars. Don't have three kids. It's tough.
Well, you could probably extend that to just don't have kids, but
you could. But I mean if you have kids, one kid is fine.
Yeah, you'd be amazed at the cars you could afford without a child.
Well, that's true too. There's another thing too. So this way, you know, we have this vision of possibly me driving the sports car and Kathleen in the station wagon with, you know, maybe two of the kids.
Yeah.
One of them with me in the car with me, and we're driving a big family, you know, not very environmentally friendly, we're having a good time.
So. Sorry about the wind here, but we're Matt Farah.
So that's the story with that. Yeah, so I'm pretty happy. It's silver. I don't think we mentioned that.
Yeah,
it's
silver is a good color.
Yeah.
Now, if they had not been silver, would the body cladding have been a different color than the body? Or they were all...
On these, it's all monochromatic.
So not like the
Outback. Completely different. Although it's... So they did do, from this generation, they did do what's called an Outback XT.
Yes.
And I think some of those were available as manuals, and it's basically the same engine and drivetrain.
There's a Forester version too, I know.
Yeah, they did. They did that too. And I believe it's the same engine, but it has the higher suspension. So this is
about how this is within like a spitting distance of an S4. I mean, in fact, it's the same horsepower as the 2.7 turbo, the mm-hmm. V5 S4, in the performance. I mean, I've talked about my B7 2008 S4 sedan and how it had 94 more horsepower than the car it replaced, and didn't really perform any better because it had a lot of extra weight too. But this car does what, 0-60 in 5.3 seconds? Is that
that's what the published time is?
Amazing! Like, it's very quick, about a sleeper.
Yeah.
So
I mean, for all intents and purposes, it looks just like a regular legacy station wagon.
Yeah.
But it's got a lot more. My plan is to keep it, extremely stock.
Yeah.
Have it look like fly under the radar.
Yeah,
And I think it's gonna be a fun car.
Well, this will help scratch the itch until you do get that BRZ or that Cayman or.
Yeah, I mean I think the BRZ might still be on the table. I don't know, but now honestly, now it just gives me more options.
Damn, it's windy out. I'm sorry if you can't hear us right now, but
ignore the.
Again, we're not on the roof of a hotel in Whitefish. Anyway, well, it's a very cool car. I dig it. I think you are going to be. No, I'm going to regret saying this, but knock on wood, absolutely immune to speeding tickets in that car. And you're going to be able to rock it around like no one's business. And it's a really cool car, and I it gets my steering committee blessing. Yeah. And
as the situation in my life right now, I have to run these things by my wife and now you. Yeah. I have two people I have to get approval on.
I dig it.
So I, in some ways, I appreciate your approval more.
Then when you do buy the BRZ or whatever, the circle will be complete. You'll have quite the...
It does make me tempted to buy a BRZ just to have the two Subaru enthusiast garage. But I think... Honestly, buy this, I think the Porsche is back on the table.
Okay. So, all right. Well,
I think that's where I want to go.
I like that. So, did you see that new one locally, that black one with the turbo wheels? It has the sports seats.
Is it the one that's at...
No. It's a private party.
Oh, no. I'll show it
to you later. It's got triangle steering wheel, but at least it's not the multifunction, so it doesn't have the buttons on it. And it has the rear and a Cayman sports seats. So
good to know.
All right, we should cut here. We'll be back.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're back, and you said you were down in Colorado Springs, and Pikes Peak is going on. Does that have anything to do with it? Or?
It did.
Oh,
it did,
okay.
In fact,
I was just throwing out a dart here.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. No, you're right. Well, if I'm in Colorado Springs, at this time of year, that probably
you're not there to visit. Focus on the family.
No, I was not. I was not there for that. I've been I've been talking with this guy. His name is Fred Veach. He's been very enthusiastic. He is a huge Porsche guy. And he's been he's raced at Pikes Peak in various different classes over the last couple of years. He says this is his final year. We'll see.
Okay.
Yes.
This is a buddy of yours.
He was introduced to me through my sister-in-law. I was actually just meeting him for the first time at this event. I've talked to him on the phone and through email a couple times. But he invited me down to a Meet the Drivers event at Porsche Colorado Springs. So,
yeah.
Although as I got down there, I saw he sent me an email on the day of and said it was being switched to a virtual meeting.
Oh, because it's going to be an elbow the driver.
Well, you can picture that that lower showroom they have there at Porsche Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
It's usually filled with people.
Okay.
And they had the special guest, if you will.
Yes.
The piece de resistance was Jeff Swart was there.
Okay.
And he was interviewing a bunch of other drivers, including Dave Donahue and a number of other drivers who were there, some in various different classes.
Yeah.
They actually interviewed Fred as well.
Okay, cool.
And this is up on their Instagram feed if you want to check it out.
I'd have to be on
Springs
Instagram, there. My friend.
Fair enough. Well, some of our listeners might be on there. So, in point of fact, guests were not really supposed to be there.
Sorry, I did just turn 45 this last week.
So it's Facebook.
The dementia.
You need to be on their Facebook live feed then.
The Facebook, yes.
Yeah, the Facebook. So I get down there and I realize that I thought it was just low turnout and that there was a few other people there to watch it.
Yeah.
Turns out they were all the drivers they were getting ready to interview.
And you.
And me. I was literally except for anyone else there was either
Doug.
Employed by Porsche Colorado Springs or a driver of Pikes Peak.
You didn't get the message, huh?
But it worked out in a way, okay. But because there were so few people there, yeah. I actually got to meet Mr. Jeff Swart. See? And he is very, 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 very nice. Cool. He was very cool. We're friends now on Instagram, no big deal.
And, is he listening now?
I assume so, yeah, I assume. But it was just interesting hearing him interview. So now he's racing this year in a... have you seen that 935 sort of race car?
Yeah,
that
it's kind of retro.
Yeah. He's running in a full race prep version of that.
Very cool.
And it was interesting. We were talking about with Dan Donahue about he's racing in a GT2 RS.
Okay.
And those cars are relatively similar mechanically to a certain point, but the 935, I believe, is actually... the engine, I think, is slightly moved up. I think it's actually considered mid-engine.
Okay.
And different, obviously, a different body on it. It's a different aero. Yeah. But it's interesting to see, you know, how those two cars would compare with each other. So the one major thing I picked out of, you know, Pikes Peak Racing is that it's all about your experience riding, racing there. Because in the practice leading up to the race, they give you lots of practice time, but you actually don't run, you never run the entire course until your qualifying time. Because the way they have it spaced out, you have to run like kind of the bottom section, then the midsection, then the top section in different pieces. And they have some distances between. So there's like a few turns you don't even know until you actually race it. So Jeff's been running the race for like 17 years. So he's probably got the most experience out of everybody. And I think that that definitely comes in handy. He was teaching a class of guys in GT4 spec. Caymans who were in
should have been me, man.
Should have been you. Maybe one year it will be. We'll get your car.
Too old.
We'll get you. Well, I honestly, the people who were racing there, Fred himself is in his 70s.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Yeah. All right.
He's known as Fast Fred. So
you got
lots of time. Yeah. Lots of time. And some of the other guys up there were older than you as well.
Okay.
So some were much younger than both of us.
So there's a range.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a range.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I'm not obsolete yet.
No, definitely not. No, you've got all your experience.
I may be about 80 pounds too heavy, but
well, that might be the quickest way to add lightness to your car. But you know, but
hey, Nigel Mansell, right?
Nigel Mansell won the world championship,
right,
my friend.
That's
was a large man.
Yes,
he was a large professional driver. So God, I remember drivers when Danica Patrick was coming on the IndyCar scene. I remember drivers bitching about the fact that she had an inherent advantage just because she was smaller and lighter, and it was like, you know, like, what do you want, you know?
Well,
like,
that's
It's kind of like the, you know, it's like...
I'm guessing that wasn't the real issue, but
that's what they said the issue was. I don't know what the real issue was, but it's just one of those things, you know, it's like jockeys on the horse races.
It's all part of it.
Yeah.
Well, so they let you in. What were your credentials?
Well, obviously, I'm a founding member of the Steering Committee podcast. They say, well, come on in, Mr. Fogler. They let me in.
Okay.
And they know when... I think they looked around trying to figure out what I was for a while. There was one other random photographer there, and maybe they thought I was part of that. And I was... What was interesting is
like
at one point...
they say, I'm an attorney, damn it.
Don't touch me. I'm an attorney. I'm allowed to be here. No, I didn't do that. But they had them recording in one separate room with like a big glass wall, and I was kind of waiting out here in the showroom area, so I couldn't hear them very well. So I was actually watching it on Instagram Live on my phone, and there was a slight delay, but it was only a couple seconds. And then they just said, "Oh, go on in, just go in there." And you know, I had a mask on, and everyone had masks on, which was nice, except for when they were speaking.
Sure.
When they were being interviewed, they took their masks off so they could hear.
Colorado Springs is nothing if not responsible.
Well, every attendant there was wearing a mask, and everyone there was extremely nice and very friendly. I also met Joe, the managing director there, that day as well. He had heard about our upcoming Porsche draft that's going to be at Porsche Colorado Springs. So without me saying
it's like
anything,
the Johnny Appleseed of
he said, and he said, talk.
Porsche podcast,
we're going to continue to coordinate down there. But he said, let me know, and we'll try and stack the deck for you guys
that's
a little
exciting.
Bit. So I said, well, I told him, you know, I said if I showed up here on a random day, I think it's pretty amazing. And you know, there was still the Singer Porsche was sitting in the showroom.
Yeah,
it
was that's a cool car.
918.
It's not just a Singer Porsche; it's a 4.0 Singer.
It's a 4.0 Singer Porsche, yellow, beautiful, you know, beautiful combination. There's a 918, you know, the supercar hybrid.
That's also yellow, right?
And then that is the same, almost the same color yellow. Mm-hmm. And then they had in the showroom, they had a couple Cayennes, which, you know, whatever. But then they also had a new 718 Spider Boxster, which was
nice,
which is beautiful.
Well, we don't say Boxster, 718 Spider.
I guess. Yeah, sorry.
Still waiting on my call for the
For the allotment?
For the GT4.
718 GT4.
I think I've only had one in, and they actually did call me and said, hey, do you want to come down and see it? And I just couldn't make it down, but...
Well, I assume if you get the call again, you'll go down and at least drive it, right? To see if you.
Well, yeah. If it's not already spoken for, right? I'm a buyer.
Yeah, you don't want to come down. You want to drive down there just to sit in it. You want to go down and drive
it. Colorado Springs. I think it's not that far, but it's kind of a. It's got construction, and it's
you know
it's
that a good was a, so half. I had a good drive down there. Okay. Will actually let me take the Subaru down on an extended test drive down there, and it's again I've just fell in love with that car. Yeah. But it was great on the way down. It was terrible on the way back because on the northbound side it was like the road was narrower. Yeah, it was narrow. It was raining too. So, it's a bit of a long drive, but it's worth going down there though.
There is an alternative. There's a state highway that parallels that for most of the way that I took back the last time. It was much more pleasant.
I'll do that next time. Yeah. I was looking at that as I was driving and wondering if I should do that. So, it was an interesting evening, and I'm glad I went down. Yeah. And thank you to Fred Veach. He hooked me up on that. Yeah. Thank you to Jeff Swart for being nice and letting me talk to him for a few minutes.
Cool.
And Joe as well down there at Porsche Colorado Springs. Everyone was very nice to me, even though I shouldn't have been there.
No, that's awesome. No. You should have been there.
I would have invited you down, but I know you're busy, and I also didn't know. I didn't know how it was going to go. I didn't know if I was going to possibly be kicked out of there.
That's
so,
okay.
Yeah. So
I was busy driving because I think that we went on this rally, and I know it was at 800, 900 miles in 3 days, and then the next morning I hopped in a rental car and drove 19 hours to Wisconsin, and two days later drove 19 hours back. On the way back I did stop at a hotel, so there was but yeah, that was crazy driving 19 hours. The guy who just set the one-man coast-to-coast record.
Yeah.
I don't know what his time
I think they're
was.
In the 25 range.
25, but, so, I mean, that's pushing it, man. Like, at 19 hours,
so only six more hours, but then, going all the way across the country, right?
In doing, averaging 115 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah. So.
Did those guys... So, we've talked about these speed records before. Had the recent record, again, fallen...
Yeah.
I think it was done by the same team that currently had the record, but, like... Do they stop, or do they have enough fuel in the auxiliary fuel tanks to not have to stop?
So the guy that did the one-man attempt, he did it in a rental Mustang GT.
Yeah.
And he, even in that, he had an auxiliary fuel tank, I think, stopped three times.
Oh, okay.
But that's kind of the move.
And I've always questions. Do you fill up all the tanks if you're stopping?
You must. I mean, otherwise why...
I wonder if on like the last one,
maybe just fill up the
main tank and
because
I mean every time you stop, have to make up time, right? I mean every second you're not moving.
But of course, everyone and their mother was making an attempt, over with the coronavirus. I think that's gone now. That
I think so we talked about this. We asked the question like. Does it really count because like they did it at the height of quarantine and there weren't many people on the road?
Yeah, my argument was that it counted.
Yeah, and I was more on the side of maybe not.
Yeah.
I would actually say now that they've done it twice since, two new people have broken it since, these definitely count because we're in various states of quarantine, but there are more people on the road because that's one of the few things people can go out and do over the summer. So these guys broke this, at the end of the summer here. I think that's a legit record.
Yeah, so. I got to say, I think it's going to be really tough to beat whatever is it 25
it's
hours?
It's 25 and change. It's,
so I'm thinking, this is the east to west route. There must be a north south route, right? Is anyone trying to beat this?
Oh, the border to border?
Because apparently there's a diesel record or all these, like, there must be something in there.
Do you want to try and break it in the Cayman?
Plus, it's not as far, so.
Should we use your Cayman? Should we use your
I'm thinking the
Tiguan,
or should we use
the Legacy GT with a giant auxiliary fuel tank?
That's way more
tank?
Under the radar than even a Cayman, so.
That might be the play, actually.
Yeah.
I was going to throw it in there. That was going to be my third choice.
We'll
see. Stay tuned. Well, based on statute of limitation laws, we won't be able to tell you about it until about a year later.
Yes,
but the attorney
in the room. This is your new car, BRZ or Cayman, possibly still on the back burner. I'm still actively looking for a GT4, whether it's a 981 or a new one. But again, I do have a new appreciation for my current Cayman. But yes, I would still love to get a GT4. They just seem to have, like, it's very weird what's happened with those as far as the there seem to be very few ones popping up for sale. It's like, you know, buy, sell, hold. Like, the 981s are a hold, I feel like. I feel like you can get a better deal on the new one right now. But we'll see. Yeah, or at least close to sticker.
Well, and what's what are they saying about the production numbers on the 718? Are they
I believe that they're buying, they're building as many as they can sell. But, of course, COVID is factored into that. You know, it's just... so, I don't know. Maybe I'm in a hold position, too. But if one were to pop up, there's just... I feel like they were everywhere until I started seriously looking for one, and now they're apparently nowhere. But
yeah, of course, so,
anyway, or maybe we'll take a trip down to Albuquerque and see what's popping.
That's
popping
true.
Maybe, an ABQ.
Maybe, yeah, maybe you and I will take the Legacy GT down there. And
you want to do that?
Kick the tires on that. Yeah.
Well, we got some good food, if nothing else.
Yeah, right? We got to find some people to take. Well,
that's a deceptively long trip. Yeah, I don't want to.
Which isn't that interesting.
No, okay, Yeah. I guess what I'm getting at is I don't want to drive my Cayman down and then, like, the car's sold or we can't make a deal, and then I've just put 1,200 miles on my Cayman.
I know, right?
You know?
Yeah,
so, anyway. Yeah,
so, all right, we'll take the Legacy GT down. How about that?
Yeah,
so,
if you don't, you're breaking miles.
Yeah.
Right?
Those miles from 114 to 115,000 are really important. Yeah, really important.
Getting started. So, kind of a housekeeping episode. Maybe not, you know, I didn't have any new modeling stories or anything this time. But
we haven't discovered any new jobs that were interesting that you used to do in the past.
We'll be back
and I think we have some great guests on the horizon. We have the Porsche draft still coming up. We haven't forgotten about that, but we've got all the people back in place. Yeah. And we just got
a couple guys we met on the rally.
Were
interesting, and I think a couple more who I have designs on for future episodes. Because there are definitely some stories in that group. So
there's some.
I'll
leave
it at that.
There's some great stories.
Anyway,
so let's call it a show.
Want to make Mom's Day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat Mom to the good stuff from just $30.